Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retro Rewatch. I'm Jeff. This is Patrice with me. Hey, Patrice. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been looking forward to this day, like, because we're fine. I mean, as fun as the last episodes were, I really enjoyed watching different things with you and seeing your reactions mm-hmm. to some of my favorite shows. Literally some of my favorite shows on the planet. I'm also very much looking forward to finally getting a conclusion on the cliffhanger and jumping into season 4.
I'm with you. And for those of you that might be new to what we're doing, we watch shows that Patrice has seen mm-hmm. before, probably many times, mm-hmm. but I have not. And so we just, as you're able to ferret out from everything Patrice said, we have wrapped up season 3 of Stargate SG-1.
Yep.
And watched a couple other shows, which was fun. I wouldn't have watched any episodes of Charmed otherwise.
Probably not.
And I've
Avatar, probably also not. You never know, but probably not.
Avatar, there's a higher likelihood I would have watched Avatar, the Last Airbender episodes, than Charmed.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's
true. And I did tell a couple friends that you convinced me to watch Charmed.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were very surprised and very happy.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it. They were surprised and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And both said, oh, I loved that show. And so anyhow, now I've seen some of that. And so we have the cliffhanger
mm-hmm.
At the end of season 3.
Yeah, that's where we are right now.
So. Right? So as you said, it's now time for predictions.
Yes. By the way, I wanted to mention one thing because I saw it when I looked at the predictions document. We have a big predictions document where all the predictions are for the bigger picture, not the one like episode to episode predictions, but more the bigger picture predictions are in. I saw one you had predicted probably somewhere in season 2. Mm-hmm. because this is a beyond season 3 prediction, that the Asgard would turn to humans in some way to help fight the replicators in their home galaxy. So I wanted to mention that because, that was one that we haven't talked about.
So. And so that was one of the predictions I made just as a general thing.
Yeah, just a general thing beyond season, I guess beyond season 3. I'm pretty sure he did that in season 2, end of season 2. So just wanted to mention that we keep that in mind for future predictions. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me set up the situation. We're end of season 3.
Yes.
SG-1 has destroyed the replicator ship, has, I guess, gated away, I would assume, through the Stargate that they had beamed up. The last thing we saw was, well, we thought all the replicators were dead, but there's at least one that survived and is now floating on the Pacific Ocean on a piece of debris from the Asgard ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are.
Okay.
So I mean, that we have kind of two questions we should answer now. What mm-hmm. do you think will happen in the first episode? Like, how does this whole... What happens next and how does this whole thing get concluded? You know, I mean, we know there's a second part. But what is it? Because we thought we had killed the replicators. Like, the big story arc. Oh, the replicator ship, and this is going to destroy Earth. Kind of got resolved in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But something is going to happen the next episode. So what is it? And then also, what do you think will happen in season 4? Like, what other things will happen? What other storylines will happen from based on what we've seen in season 3, 2, 1?
Okay. Well, so season 4, episode 1, second half of our cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the one replicator that the one spider bot that survived. Mm-hmm. And so it's out there, in the ocean, and since it's with the debris, it presumably has materials so it can replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and yeah. So it will start replicating, and then somehow, Stargate Command will become aware of this. You know, maybe there's like some satellite data anomaly, or I don't know. Somehow they end up finding out that the replicator has been replicating, and so now they have to try and contain the infestation, and then ultimately, of course, they will prevail, and the replicators, at least on Earth, will be destroyed.
That is pretty general, right? I mean, it's just kind
they're
of...
They're going to use a bomb. They're going to blow it up.
Different question. I mean, yeah, okay, that's also interesting, but like how? But no, like how do you see... I mean, so far it's pretty generic, right? Okay, we have replicators, they're going to replicate, SGC is going to kill them. Okay, sure.
Right.
But I want details. Like, I mean, this is like, I think without even... Like, that's not a pretty hard prediction.
All right. Okay. Then, all right. You're right. I need to commit to it.
Yes.
This is a pretty big threat. Oh. You know, it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of this contraband technology, some of which the Asgard took back from Mayborn's mm-hmm. rogue team.
Yeah.
But we still have all this other technology that we have been acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe SG-1 has to team up with Mayborn's people to use some of this technology in an innovative way that the Asgard hadn't thought of. And they're able to use that to create like an anti-replicator weapon, a bomb thing. And then they're able to use that. And so... They are able to get a bomb out on to where the replicators are building up out in the ocean and blow them up. So we could have Mayborn come back in this episode, which would be delicious.
Okay. What do you think will the replicators do? I mean, you said they replicate, but I mean, there is some... I mean, they're in the middle of the ocean. There's some debris. That's it. What are they going to do? I mean, there's really not a lot point. Of place. I don't think they can swim. I don't know if they can survive in salt water. Probably not.
Well, okay. What if it turned out to be a thing where, I mean, there's debris out there.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably, especially because it's extraterrestrial debris,
mm-hmm.
the government is going to want to recover stuff. So maybe it's one of our military ships is out there. The replicator gets on, and now we have the infestation on a military ship. Because you're right, it can't just be floating out in the water making like Replicator Island.
Yeah, Replicator Island. That's a funny name for a show. is that an Asgard reality TV show? Replicator Island. Okay.
That's right. Yes, we're going to vote you off of Replicator Island. And every time someone gets voted off, that Asgard goes, yes, because they're finally off the island. So, yeah, that would make sense that they're trying to recover debris.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they scooped up the replicator in the process, and now it's taking over the military ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. And then you said there will be a team up with Mayborn, and they will build a bomb and then kind of blow up that ship or something and kill the replicators. Anything special or specific about the replicators that comes to mind? Like, I mean, we've seen them in their Asgard form in the Asgard ship. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see that changing, or is it the same? Like, do they behave and look the same or not? Like, is there anything special about the Earth replicators? Because, you know, we saw in the previous episode, they adapt to the species that they attack or whatever.
Okay. So I hadn't thought about that. The way I was thinking about it was they take the raw materials that are available and incorporate that into their growth.
They do.
And
they do that, yes.
But it sounds like you're asking me, do they also incorporate other aspects of...
Yeah, I was just thinking, because I said in the previous episode we heard, because Thor explained that like they adapted to their technology level, and they kind of, the first thing they did was like turn off certain things or whatever, so they cannot be like detected or whatever. Maybe Earth's technology is too primitive and nothing like that is going to happen. I was just wondering if, like, you had thoughts about that. If there's something that you think will happen or not happen, because, like I said, Earth technology is maybe too primitive, and they're like, I don't care, we'll just eat all the materials and replicate.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but now I am. So thanks for that. In a good way, because now I'm like, well, how could you incorporate that? Okay, so we know that the replicators, in some ways, are like little spider Borg.
Mm-hmm. Spider Borg, yes.
Because they do absorb the technology from the species.
Yeah, that not necessarily the technology, mostly the materials, but they adapt to how they're fought and what technology they can use to their advantage, or they can disable if it's something that would be risky for them.
Well, I mean, do they retain information about technologies they've previously absorbed? Because if that's the case, then we could have a problem where they're trying to use the raw materials of the military ship to craft technologies that we haven't seen before, because it's based on Asgard and maybe, and whoever else
we've not overrun. Seen anything like that on the Asgard ship. I mean, it's a question. Like, if you think that's something that could happen, that it could develop in that direction,
I mean, that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And we know that they did learn enough about the Asgard technology to know what they needed to disable in the sensors and what systems isolate. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're thinking they will use Earth-based materials to build alien technology?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I hadn't been thinking down that path, but you open that door, now here we go.
An alien in this case means probably Asgard, right?
Probably. That would make sense, because otherwise, in the middle of 43 minutes of showtime, you're trying to explain this other technology that's just suddenly randomly there.
Yeah, I mean, could happen, bad writing, whatever, but yeah, okay, let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Okay, anything else that comes to mind? I mean, this is... I think one of the first time, is this the first time we've had anything happen on Earth other than in SGC?
Well, we've had the Gould that was a cult leader.
Okay, but that was very stealthy and hidden, right? But this is, this is a pretty big thing, right? Just dropped from the sky into the ocean.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we also did have the thing where Teal'c got infected with that alien parasite and then ended up out in like an abandoned building in Colorado Springs.
That's true, yeah. But I mean, nothing on that.
Something like,
still different scale. Like, as I said, this was one infected alien. This is a big ship.
So the last big ship that I can recall, that would have been Apophis bringing his ships into Earth orbit, and he was going to bombard Earth.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's
ships
true.
Ships got blown up, and then they had to explain away the
disruptions.
That whole thing.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah, I was just thinking about that, because I was thinking, okay, like a big ship just dropped, like, does that have any? But yeah, you're right. And I mean, I think they explained it also at the end of the episode, where like, oh, yeah, we're already spreading false information about what this was and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they can do the same thing with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anything else that any interesting bits come to mind?
We need to have a resolution with Thor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're getting the Beta Stargate out.
Mm-hmm.
Which will allow SG-1 to return back home. Yeah. And so what I think they're going to do here, because there will be enough to do with the battle with the spider bots.
Mm-hmm.
They took Thor with them.
Yeah.
And they went through the gate, and we don't know where they gated to. I mean, well, they set a planet number, but yeah. we don't know anything about it. So I think they're going to hand wave Thor's recovery. Oh yeah, the planet we went to, they had the resources, the medical technology, whatever.
Yeah, something like that, or I don't know, the Asgard showed up and beamed him away, or whatever, right. something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Thor was treated off world and off camera.
Yeah, and we may not even see Thor in this episode. Mm-hmm. We'd just be like, yeah, and he's okay. Yay!
Okay, I wrote that down. We may not even see Thor in this episode. Okay. That brings me to the question, because you mentioned SG-1. You know, they usually have individual or group storylines, right? It's usually not the entire team, but like there's pairings that happen. Is there any anything that you've, I mean, you said they're pairing up with Mayborn or with their organization. Someone builds a bomb, stuff like that. But is there any pairings you see in any, like, let's say, subplots or side storylines that could happen in parallel, anything like that?
Oh, sure. Okay, so what they could do is have Jack and Teal'c on the military ship.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the infested ship.
Yeah.
And then you have Sam and you know, I don't know if they filmed both parts of this two-parter at the same time, because that will have a big impact on how much Daniel Shanks could be involved.
Daniel Jackson. I mean, probably not at the same time. I think back to back, of course. Like, they will, that's like a back to back shoot, but usually they don't do it at the same time.
Okay. So
he may or may not be involved. Like, we don't know. I mean, he was involved a little bit at the end of the last episode, right?
Yeah. He was in two very short scenes, mm-hmm. like one at the beginning, one at the end, pretty much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So they could do something where Daniel is having to do research or whatever, mm-hmm. where they shoot a couple scenes and Michael Shanks is still recovering from his appendicitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mean Sam and maybe Daniel do something together?
Yeah. So Sam, she's going to end up spearheading the bomb development. Daniel will end up helping in some way. And so that's where... So Mayborn is the crossover between the two, the A plot and the B plot in this scenario that I'm mm-hmm. now crafting out of whole cloth. And
you're sure
so Sam
it's whole
has
cloth and not like a cloth with a lot of holes in it.
There's lots of holes in my cloth. Absolutely. So yeah, so Sam's having to come up with the actual weapon. And of course we have the imposed deadline of, if they don't do it in time, then the replicators overrun Earth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's Sam's job. Daniel mm-hmm. will be involved probably in a minimal way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I'm presuming because Michael Shanks is still
yeah.
recovering from his appendicitis. Mayborn, he'll be involved with the whole bomb thing too, because he's providing technologies that Sam is using to develop the weapon. And then of course it'll come down to the line, like, we have to blow this up. We have to do it now.
Yeah.
And Sam will come through, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah. I think that one, that plot is quite obvious. Like, oh, that then yeah. pretty typical for Stargate. Okay. Good. That's a good plot. I like it. Whether that's actually what's going to happen or not, you will know soon when you watch the first episode.
When I watch, yeah.
Yeah.
If this isn't how it plays out, well, it better be something really interesting, because with your prodding to get me to think about more mm-hmm. things, I think I've come up with actually a pretty good story.
I think you have. I think this is a pretty good story, but like, whether the real story is as good or better, I'm not going to tell you.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. Like, you will be surprised what happens.
But I hope I'm surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, because I mean, you have a track record. You will probably be right on some things and wrong on others.
Yeah. And there'll be some things where it'll be like, oh my God, you totally had the concept, but that's not how they did it.
Yes. Yes, I can. Yeah. I think that is not a bad prediction. So let's look a little bit beyond episode one. Like, we have 22 they have in a season, minus two, so about 20 episodes. Right, because mm-hmm. the last one will be again some big cliffhanger. So right. this is the first one to resolve it. So, like, what do you think will happen throughout the season, including the last episode? Like, what are your feelings given what we've seen in season three?
All right. So, do we want to do the last episode or work through what I think is going to happen in the season and then get to the last episode?
Either direction, or I mean, you don't have to point out what the last episode is if you don't want to.
Well, okay, then let's talk about what I think will happen through the mm-hmm. season,
mm-hmm.
And then I can probably tie some of that into okay. predictions for mm-hmm. the season cliffhanger. All right, so I think that one thing that I have said before, which really hasn't manifested itself, mm-hmm. may actually manifest itself now, because we've had okay. enough setup pieces up through season three. And that's the Jaffa Unification Alliance. And so, the whole thing with what Braytak's trying to do, with get all of the different Jaffa factions together, mm-hmm. I yeah. think that we're going to have a story arc throughout the season that touches on that, and okay. so we're going to see more of this
yeah.
Unification of Jaffa coming yeah. together.
I called it the Jaffa Alliance because that's what you call it. You think this will happen this season, so there will be some unification.
Yeah, we've had bits and pieces, where they've talked about it. We had an episode where there was fighting between a couple factions where they should have been working together. It's like they're laying out the pieces for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be the season where they actually pick all those up and do something with them.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I think that we are going to be introduced to a new system lord that, mm-hmm. so new meaning one we haven't encountered before. And that they will be just like all the system lords, just horrible.
Yeah,
horrible.
I mean, typical system lord. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe a little better with the wardrobe and a little less sneery.
No, I think there's very little chance for that.
Well, a boy can hope. But no, you're right. And so this new system lord will be a problem. And you know, in the way system lords always are.
Mm-hmm.
It, and this introduction of this new system lord will ultimately come back into play when we get to the finale.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we're going to have more Tok'ra espionage stories.
Okay. Anything in particular? I mean, I think that's a pretty generic like prediction because we've had plenty every season of Tok'ra. Like, since the Tok'ra were introduced, we've had some sort of spin-off story. So anything specific you can tell me?
Yes. I think that the espionage will tie into the revelation of this new system lord.
Okay. So in what way?
So the Tok'ra Jacob will be involved because they are not going to screw us over with Jacob's character the way they did with Kinsey's character.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jacob, he'll be back. He'll be part of this espionage thing the Tok'ra have been doing, where they discover that there's this other system lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it could be like, oh my God, here's this new person on the rise, or hey, this person that we thought was out of the picture, was dead, whatever. Turns out mm-hmm. they're not, and they've been secretly amassing their troops, and so they need to have SG-1 come in and help while they do their investigation, you know, infiltrate. And that's an interesting thought. It's not like, hey, we need you to help extract our people. It's we need to embed Tok'ra and SG-1 in this the system lord's organization. So that could be an interesting
mm-hmm.
espionage story. Tok'ra and SG-1 undercover in Gu'uld territory.
Okay. I mean, it has happened before, but not that way, right? I mean, it's kind of
not that way.
What happened on the Help Planet, right?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, with that, they just said, hey, Jacob
was captured. We need your help, basically. Yeah. So this is
going to be let's do the thing and let's show the team up doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but I'm calling it the whimsical episode from last season
mm-hmm.
where we had Dom DeLuise in it.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to get another whimsical, non-formula episode.
Okay.
This season.
Okay.
So it'll be a different story, but it'll be the same
yeah.
style.
Yeah.
Where so, you have so the funny, one-off character. Whimsical.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I haven't figured out what that will be.
I'm not pushing you on it because I think that is pretty difficult. Like, because they're usually one-off stories, they're pretty difficult to predict. I mean, if you had an idea, I would take it, but I think that is pretty difficult to predict. So I'll leave it. I'll accept a very generic prediction.
Well, okay, cool. Because what we've had for the non-formula stories,
mm-hmm.
We had 1969.
Yeah.
And then we had the Dom DeLuise one, yeah, which I just forgot the name of.
Urgo. Yes.
And then we'll have this new episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've had so far, they've been very different stories.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be a very different story again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah. Anything else that comes to mind? Any big storyline we haven't seen? Anything like that?
Well, we do have the ongoing Gu'uld conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we're going to see with that is No, better way to come into the sentence. We're not done with Apophis.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have some Apophis stories this season. And it's going to basically be like an Apophis story arc in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Where each episode can be a one-off thing, but together they give you elements that are going to lead up to the season finale.
So you're basically saying there will be multiple episodes with
that have some sort of Apophis tie-in. And so that's what I'm picturing is we're finding out that Apophis is amassing more power. He is taking control of more of the Goa'uld factions.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like unifying the system lords in a way that that we haven't seen, and so with that, there will be something that involves, I don't want to call it a civil war, mm-hmm. but definitely a conflict between system lord factions.
I mean, that is, I would say, pretty much guaranteed, right? Because we saw at the end of, like, we had Sokar's ships and whatever. Right. His whole army that was bigger than any army ever, basically. And Apophis had supposedly taken over, right? Because he killed Sokar. So I think that is a pretty, I don't know, I don't want to call it a safe bet, but I would say pretty straightforward prediction that, like, he will continue down that path. So, like, amassing power, yes. And there will be some fighting, right? Because that's what Goa'uld would do. Right, Apophis will try to grab as much power as he can, and he will use the resources he got from Sokar. Is that what you meant, or did you think more than different direction?
This is going beyond what he's done with Sokar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no secret that Apophis wants to unite all of the system lords.
Yes,
because we saw that in the
he said so. The
Dante's Inferno episode.
We're going to see.
Yeah, so we're going to see elements of that happening this season.
But do you think he will not finish that? Like, it will be, like, throughout the season, the path leading there, but he's not going to do it or finish it.
Right. And I think that will all come together in the season finale. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So, before we get to the season finale, I do have a couple other predictions to throw in here.
Okay.
First one is we are going to see more Michael Shanks focused or Daniel focused episodes this season.
I mean, we saw already a lot. So you mean the same level or more than before?
More.
Okay.
It's pretty clear based on what we saw in season 3 and with the discussions we had. Michael Shanks was not happy
with his screen time and what the stories he's getting, whatever. I mean, he's right. Like, we've seen him, like, pretty much useless most of the episodes. So.
Right. So we saw that ramping up in season 3. I think it'll be really obvious in season 4 that Michael Shanks, or Daniel, is a very upfront, forward character. And there will be more episodes that have a Daniel focus than we have seen before.
Okay.
So I don't want to say it's becoming the Daniel Jackson and his Stargate team, but
hopefully,
but
not.
You know, yeah, hopefully not. But you know, kind of that thing where it's like, oh yeah, we're seeing a lot more Daniel stuff happening now.
Okay, I'm thinking, what other storylines did we have? I mean, we still have the her thesis kit storyline that's open, right?
Yeah, we have that.
We talked about, we did talk about the Sakaar thing. Whatever's going to happen with the Tollans, right? They're always a question. We had pretense last episode, last season.
Right.
So that's probably still an open storyline. What's how that's going to progress. Let's say the obvious thing, what happens after this, the first episode with the not the Tok'ra, the Asgard. Wow, my brain's not working. The Asgard and the replicators.
Anything
come to mind? And like, I just looked at season two episodes to give you some ideas what happened, because it's been a couple weeks since we did the recap and so on. So just giving you some hints what happened and what could continue or not. Right. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's it and we never hear of it again. It has happened before. We're like, there's entire stories that were supposed to be big things and then just disappeared.
Yeah, that's true. We're not done with the Asgard.
Yeah.
So then the question is, are we done with the replicators?
Yeah.
And unless they're just going to hand wave the replicator thing away.
Do you think they will?
Which they could. I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be, they've set it up where the galaxy the Asgardians live in has been completely overrun with replicators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a disservice to the audience to just hand wave away.
Okay.
And then they fixed it.
Yeah.
So we still have more replicator stories. So then the question is, do those become replicator stories where,
this season or next season or some in the future, right? That's also a question. Not everything has to get picked up in every season. So it could also be that after the first episode, they're like, and we're going back to the Go World and we'll come back to the replicators sometime in the future. That could also happen, right? So that's also a question that you have to ask.
Well, I do think there'll be more Gould focused this season.
Yeah.
We might get another replicator story, but okay, so here's an idea that I just came up with. What if the replicator story doesn't have to be on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a thing where the Asgard say, we need humans to help us with the replicator fight. So we're taking you to our fight instead of bringing our fight to you. So like flipping what they did with the season cliffhanger for 3, because they accidentally brought the replicators to us in their fight.
But you mean, yeah, cliffhanger for end of season 3. No, basically. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah.
So what if now it's like, okay, we're going to bring you to our fight instead of bringing our fight to you.
Yeah. So there will be another episode basically in the season where they do that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It could be this season. It could be next season. If they don't do another replicator episode this season, I think they're going to reference replicators throughout the season.
Okay.
As a reminder that we're not done with this story. And I think that ultimately we're going to get some resolution to the replicator story.
Mm-hmm.
And it will probably be like, it could be another cliffhanger episode. All right. But I don't know. There's just something about the replicators where I feel like if they're going to dump it, then it's just going to, it's going to be this very disappointing thing that they do.
Mm.
Or they're going to like really kick it up and make the replicators an even bigger problem in some way down the road.
So, which, like, let's take that for beyond. What do you think? Will they like, looking beyond season four, will they kick it up, or will they eventually dump it?
I'm going to go with they're going to kick it up. And, you know, it could be we take the battle to, we have like the replicator wars in, mm-hmm. in the Asgard's galaxy. Or maybe it's like, holy crap, the replicators figured out how to get to our galaxy, but they're in like the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still us and the Asgard. And having a big battle somewhere else in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're doing the Asgard, we've got the whole thing with Asgard ships and the teleporting, and there's enough stuff going on that I can see where, even though I don't want Stargate to be pew 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 Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
where they. If they do it right, they could do some episodes where it's like, okay, and we're at the Asgard, so now we can hand wave away the normal SG-1 technology, and we can just do the straight up space sci-fi battle thing with, mm-hmm. and that could be an interesting, fun way to have some episodes leading to a replicator resolution.
Yeah. Do you think the replicators will come to our galaxy?
I think that would make the storyline more compelling, mm-hmm. as opposed to us just having to go help the Asgard. So, yeah, I think the Asgard's replicator battle is going to spill over into our galaxy.
Okay, I'll write it down. They will come to our galaxy. Okay, right. we got a lot. By the way, I checked. We also have from previous seasons some beyond stuff. I don't know. I have to think about how I structure that so that you find it. But you have, for example, the whole Jaffa Alliance stuff. We have Hathor puts together a solid System Lord Alliance.
Well,
she died, right?
Not going to be Hathor. Hathor's dead.
Yeah. So I can actually cross that out.
But so Apophis gets to carry on with that.
We might see the Death Rider tech integrated, but we won't see Earth spaceships, is one that you predicted end of season two.
Yeah, and that didn't happen.
I mean, not for beyond. Like, it hasn't happened yet.
No, oh, yeah. It could happen down the road. Yeah. Hasn't happened yet.
They might find technology that could be used to defend Earth later. Okay. Just haven't seen anything yet, I would say.
Not really. Well, yeah, not really. If you want to call it a stretch, the Naquita generator, but no, I'm not going to.
I mean, maybe. No, actually, I would say, I mean, it's not a defense weapon per se yet, but I think it's a step in the right direction, right? Mm-hmm. Need power to do anything, basically.
So, yeah. And speaking of Naquita generator, mm-hmm. reminded me, I have another prediction. So we got the absolutely horrible Zat gun,
mm-hmm.
as a new alien technology that's just part of the regular gear. I think they're going to give us another piece of alien technology that's part of the regular gear. And I don't know if it's going to be a weapon or like I'll call it a tricorder, even though that's not really what it would be. But you know, some sort of advanced. What should I call it? A MacGuffin? They're going to give them an alien technology MacGuffin, so the device does whatever it is that they need to help explain and move the story along. You know, much like you can do with the tricorder, it becomes whatever you need it to be. And it's something that they can use to hand wave away having to come up with other explanations. Like, how did you find this cache of Gould larva? Oh, well, you know, we used the Techno MacGuffin. And I say this only because I'm so disappointed with the Zetgun. That is such a horrible, horrible addition to the show.
Oh yeah.
And hey. And I fear they're going to come up with something else like that.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Yeah.
So that is also a prediction for more for beyond this season, right? I assume.
Right. Yeah. And I do have one more prediction for this season.
Okay.
On one of the planets they go to, they're going to meet an alien species that in later seasons is going to become an important part of their storyline.
Okay.
We've had little things like this.
Yeah, I will think about how I can tell when and how I can tell you that, because I don't want to spoil anything. But I'll think about it. If that happens, I will think about like whether I tell you or not, or tell you later.
It's well fair. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking about. No, but
it's a good prediction. It's just I have to figure out how to tell you whether I do got that one or not.
Okay.
Oh, when?
That's not fair.
How? Like when? If it happens, when?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Okay.
So we've had the Tok'ra show up that way. Mm-hmm. We have the Asgard. We have the Tallinn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting a couple others, right?
The Nox, for example.
The Nox. Yep.
Yeah. There have been a couple.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So I think there'll be another one that shows up this season,
mm-hmm.
and they will just keep popping up over time as an important ally, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will think about that if that happens or not. We'll see. Like we'll keep that in mind, and at the end of the season, we'll have a look at it and say, like, was there something, or is there something I want to tell you, or will we have to wait until a future season where then I tell you if that happened?
You know, either way. There's been enough that's happened in the series through the first three seasons that, for me, on one level, and I'm not complaining, it's more difficult to come up with some of my predictions because there's so many places that they have dropped stuff along the way, you know, like, hey, here's a bit of information where I can start weaving these ridiculous tapestries together.
The more seasons we have and the more one-off stories we get, right? I mean, the big storylines are relatively easy because you can be like, okay, this is like a thing that's going on, that's been going on the entire time, like the Gorwold, for example. Like, this is just continuing this and this way. But all those one-off stories, some of them are one-off, and some of them might not be, but you don't know it, right?
Right.
So which ones are just one-off things? Okay, fun, we had a nice episode done, never talked about again. Here and there, I have mentioned that because I kind of wanted you to know that this like never happened, but most of the time you wouldn't know. So maybe, I don't know, they're coming back. Maybe the Ritu. I mean, we know the Ritu not coming back because I told you, but maybe the Ritu coming back, right? You wouldn't know. So yeah, that makes it for sure. And the more seasons we have, the more episodes we have, because they could go all the way to season one and do something about some episode in season one and be like, hey, remember whatever the other furlings,
right?
Like, hey,
we've heard about the furlings.
Now they pop up all of a sudden, right? Could be stuff like that. So
as long as they don't take us back to the Genghis Khan planet,
maybe that as well. Like you wouldn't know. So yeah, for sure, it gets harder the more season you have. On one hand, it gets easier because you get a better feeling for what are things that would be interesting and they would do, and what are things they're probably not interested in. But on the other hand, there is more things to consider.
Yeah.
So that's why it's totally fine. I'm with you. I think it's getting harder to predict. Also, I think because season three was not as clear of a storyline as previous seasons.
No, it wasn't. You're right.
Yeah,
I mean, it had some really great episodes.
It had a lot of great episodes, and it had, like, I mean, we had with the Asgard and the Replicators a completely new element to be dropped in again, which mm-hmm. we don't know. We talked about it and you said yes, but could have been all. We'd be like, hey, no, this is like a one-off cliffhanger gets resolved at the end of season of episode one, and then we never hear about them again, right? Could happen. You said no, it's not going to happen, but that's another one where, like, you don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. There have been other things that have come up along mm-hmm. the way where I have been surprised that they didn't come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still could.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Senator Kinsey comes back in some shape or form. I haven't heard from him since season one. You never know. Like, there's so many little things that they could pick up again and be like, hey, remember.
You know, it's very clear to everyone, I'm sure, that I'm still very sore about the way wasted Ronnie Cox.
Me too. Yes.
Just, I mean, a clip episode with Ronnie frickin' Cox?
I mean, on the other hand, he'd made the clip episode better.
If it wasn't for Ronnie Cox, it would have been easy to say, Patrice, let's move on to a different mm-hmm. show.
So any last parting words? I think we have enough content for this.
What we've done is built up enough comedic value for the whole season for people mm-hmm. to be like, oh my god, Jeff, seriously?
Yeah.
That's where you went with that?
Mm. I can tell you one thing, and it's not a spoiler. You will be surprised.
I certainly hope so.
And that's not a spoiler, because that I can guarantee you. You will be surprised, which is good, because that's what you want.
Absolutely. Right.
This would not be the best show, I think, one of the best shows ever, if that wasn't the case. Then it would be super boring. If we could, after three seasons, predict basically the other seven.
Yeah, that would be really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hoping I'm wrong about a lot of things mm-hmm. because that means I'm getting surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a suspicion without like really looking at anything now. I have a suspicion I think the big picture stuff you will probably get right, because as I said, that is getting easier to do. Right, because you can see the mm-hmm. you can see the storyline and like the direction everything is taking, and be like, okay, big picture, this is probably the direction we're taking. Might still be wrong, but it's like it's easier to predict. So I would say that without now having judged or looked at it, I think that's probably going to happen. And I'm pretty sure on the details, on the little things, you will get it wrong, because it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, which makes
sense.
That's why I also pushed you to go a little bit, because I mean, if I let you just be a, oh yeah, there will be Gorewood and they will fight and whatever, I would be like, I mean, you would get everything right, but it would kind of also be boring, because that is quite easy to predict, unless they really turn around the entire show and it turns into Gilmore Girls or something. Like, oh, season four onwards, it's just Gilmore Girls. Like, it's Gilmore Girls in space or whatever. Okay, then. No Gorewood anymore. Okay, then maybe, okay, you would get that wrong. But other than that, it's probably a safe bet that you will get the big picture now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and we know they had four season guaranteed. So this is the last season they had in the initial order.
So, so that means that they want to make sure that they had more seasons, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, extrapolating out from that, the shows were good enough through season three and season four to convince the studio to mm-hmm. to greenlight more seasons.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen
that's a good sign.
we've seen that, right? I mean, if you look at the ratings, they were going up, like IMDb ratings or whatever, our ratings even, they were going up. So I have a feeling that the I think the average rating in season 3 from us, and in general IMDb, was probably better than the average rating in season 2.
Probably. Predictions that I didn't make that I didn't feel needed to be made, you know, about doing character growth stuff.
Yeah.
We've established that they have figured out how to write for the core characters.
Yes.
And I hope to give us and to give us character development.
Yeah.
So I didn't predict anything about that because
And that's why I didn't ask you about it. I think at this point, I mean, we're 3 seasons in. If they haven't figured out the character, I think Daniel's, I mean, it's not true. You did do a little prediction for Daniel, but I think that he's also the only one who deserves that one. I think everybody else is on a pretty solid development path and is quite predictable which direction they're going. I mean, I could ask you now, like, what do you think, what directions the characters are going? That might be interesting.
Well, all right, so I'll give you a little prediction about that. Mm-hmm. So we will, what I hope we don't see with Daniel is that they turn him into, like, Captain Kirk with Alien Girl of the Week. Because he doesn't have the wife connection anymore. And then the next episode, they give him a romantic interest thing and with a bad wig. So I don't want to see more.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Don't do that to Daniel.
Yeah. So I mean, given, I mean, as I said, Daniel is probably the only one, but we talked about a little bit already that we're going to see more Michael Shanks and more, like, development in this one. Which direction, like, now that Cherie is gone, which direction do you see him developing?
I think we're going to see him involved with more of the action than we've seen already. And, you know, actually, what could be really interesting, the episodes that we've seen where they've been really Daniel forward, a lot of times it involves like more psychological things, mental health.
Solving mysteries or like puzzles, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. More, for lack of a better phrase in the moment, more highbrow stuff. So they could continue to do that with Daniel, and they can come up with some really interesting stories that are Daniel heavy, but aren't ham-fisted. Because I mean, if we're watching an episode that's Daniel heavy, and it's obvious they wrote it because of contractual obligations or to shut up Michael Shanks or whatever, that would really suck. So. But yeah, okay. I can see more intellectual storylines involving Daniel.
What path do you see Jack on?
Jack continues to be the leader, of course.
Yeah.
And
but where is he growing to? I mean, given what we've seen, we see Carter is growing into a leader. Where is Jack, who is the leader right now, going?
I feel like we're seeing a more compassionate side of Jack coming out. And so I think that will continue to be a thing. Not like he's going to go soft I can't go fight. But I think we're going to see more of that compassionate side come out.
I think Teal'c is probably relatively straightforward, right? We saw him go from Teal'c Wiki, just explaining things, like moving now more doing things. I mean, he was alternatively action Teal'c, like fighting and killing people, or Teal'c Wiki, right? That was kind of the two sides we saw very early in the previous seasons. But I mean, he's moved on from that. So, like, what direction do you see him growing in this season, or in general, and also beyond?
In general.
Yeah.
I see him taking on more leadership role. maybe not necessarily in SG-1, but with the Jaffa. We've already seen little bits of that where he's worked with Braytac to try and bring together Jaffa factions.
Yeah.
So that could be a bigger part of what he does, and mm-hmm. we get to see this leader with I don't want to call it a crusade.
Yeah.
But a clear vision of what he wants to see for the betterment of his people.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like
and I don't feel like that's a reach at all, because they have laid that out in front of us.
That's what I meant. Like, that's why I said, yeah. I think it's the directions of most people are clear now at this point, but I just wanted to see what you see as a direction there. That leaves us with Carter. Like, I mean, it started pretty rough, and then we got the Tok'ra thing. She's definitely developing more into a leader, we've seen. I mean, she got promoted. She's not yet a leader of a team, but I think she's on that path. That was pretty clear. Yeah. Also what Hammond said to her and whatever. But what direction do you see her developing over time?
I see her leadership role growing, and the decisions that she chooses to make or thrust upon her are going to be bigger and have higher consequences, which could be a good thing or bad thing.
Yeah, always.
So here's the problem that I see for Carter's growth. Mm-hmm. She can go so far, and then she hits the O'Neill ceiling.
Yeah. That's why I asked you what happens to O'Neill, because, I mean, if in order for her, I have a feeling, at least, in order for her to grow, she probably, like, O'Neill has to also grow somewhere.
Right. And we have this core team that's going out and doing things. And if they say, like, oh, well, Sam, she should be a colonel, mm-hmm. so we'll promote Jack, but they're doing the same things, they just have different titles in front of the characters' names. That doesn't help with the growth.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, if we promote Jack, he will have a different position, and he will probably do something different, right? I mean, what is the next level up for Jack? Probably Hammond's position, a general. That is a completely different job than like his colonel that goes out onto planets.
Right. So to me, that's the very natural, logical progression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think Jack will eventually become general?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's the natural progression. Hammond retires. Jack mm-hmm. becomes the general. Sam yeah. gets promoted to the lead, yeah. and then we add in another character to replace mm-hmm. Jack's role in that team, but he's under Sam now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if we do that, then we're breaking up that core team. And is that something they're willing to risk for this show? And if they do, will that mess up the chemistry of the show?
I don't know. It's just like something that I'm saying is a possibility. Like, if
it's a possibility.
Could be, could not be. It's just like, if you think where we are today and where the characters are growing towards, I would say there's at least a strong possibility that could happen. I mean, as you pointed out, doesn't mean it does happen. It just means there's a possibility right now.
Yeah, in real world, mm-hmm. everyone would keep moving up the chain.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Not everybody. But the people that have the, let's say, the neck for that. That's Carter and that's Jack. I think Daniel, I mean, one, he's also, he's not in the military, but also, like, even if he was, I don't think he would be the person to ever do that.
Right. I think that would completely mess up that character.
Yeah. It's not simply, but Carter and Jack are like that. They're both leaders. final image. Yeah, Sam.
So
yeah, and but Sam has the second side, right? I mean, she has the leadership side, but she also has her science side, which is pretty strong.
And the science side is really cool, but to take her down just the science side, I think ultimately would take her out of the team, and then she's part of that core base group.
Yeah.
And I think that messes up the dynamic for the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, interesting perspectives that will, I know, because I, of course, I know what happens. The reality is more, way more interesting. But
yeah, well, but good. But yeah, I mean, the logical progression.
I think that the direction you pick is not wrong, right? Because that's, as I said, that's kind of, you can see it now where they're going. Like, yeah, there will be twists and turns and things that didn't, like, that were going a certain way and then they changed or whatever. Yeah, that's like, of course, that's going to happen. But the direction I think we're picking right now is, I think, at least right now, quite obvious.
Yeah, it's. I'm very interested to see what they do. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
And I'm assuming that I will be surprised. It won't be what I'm expecting, and or at least speculating. Well, they could do this, but I don't. Right now, I don't see how that would work. And yeah. Anyhow, we'll see. And there will be points where I'll be texting you. Like, oh my God, Patrice, they actually did that.
Yes. Yes, there will be. There will be. There's some massive surprises coming up the next 7 seasons. I think that is not a stretch, and I think also not a surprise. That is
not a surprise.
Yeah, as I said, I know what's happening, and like I'm looking at this, and I'm like inside of me, I'm quite a bit laughing, but also quite excited to see.
Well, how much your of poker that. Face is great, because at no point have you dropped a face on me where I'm like, oh, I just nailed that, or wow, I really blew it with that one. So
yeah,
I'm really impressed.
What is it? But it's interesting to look at the characters and see where we see them going, given what we know about them so far. Yeah. I mean, you know, in 10 seasons, a lot can happen. So we haven't seen, I mean, we haven't even done half of the show, right? So.
Right, yeah.
Even
yeah,
though we've been doing this almost 2 years, but 75 episodes, but we haven't seen anything yet.
Really, 2 years? It feels to close me like to it, yeah. We just started.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I think we started somewhere March or April or something, 2024.
Wow, go us.
Yeah, 75 episodes. So yes. So yeah, with that, I think we should close this. I mean, we could talk probably forever, because there's so much that we could talk about and see and how this gonna go and think about that or whatever. But I think also, yeah, in the future we have to talk about that and then see if it happened or it didn't. So I think this is enough for today.
Yeah, I think I'm predicted out for today.
You're predicted out. Okay, I like that.
Yeah. So, well, okay. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, with you on the British Tech Network every week. Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays. We talk about technology, different kinds. Big Show, we talk about just anything except for Apple, and then on the Mac Show, of course, we talk about all the Apple stuff that's going on, and it's always a lot of fun. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, that's where you'll find the podcast, the projects, the social media links, literally just everything.
Awesome. Okay.
So how about you, Jeff?
Well, when I'm not sitting here coming up with better storylines than some of the SG-1 stories... when I'm not sitting here wallowing in my own self-delusions about my ability to write TV shows, Jay Gamut on the social medias, and I'm most active right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. Just a couple of the many shows that I'm on, because you've already mentioned two of them. Chuck Turner's Mac Voices Live and Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And Also, there are places where Retro Rewatch can be found. Mm-hmm. So we have an email address, and that's hello@retrorewatch.com. And then we're on Mastodon, retrorewatch@techhangout.social. And then Blue Sky, mm-hmm. At retrorewatch.com. Yep. Okay. There we go. That's where everyone can find us. Mm-hmm. Wow, Patrice. You now have documentation of how ridiculous my predictions can be. and I will laugh along with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. With that... let's close that iris.
Yeah.
Because I really, really, really want to go watch season 4, episode 1 and see how the replicator story gets resolved.
So we'll go watch Small Victories and then we'll meet right here to talk more about what's going on.
Awesome. All right. Well, then I'm heading over to the couch now. So see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone.